Hey everybody, this is Michael and you're listening to Conversations with a Recovering Loan Officer, the show that is designed to help loan officers grow their mortgage business. We talk to top producers, marketing experts, and other inspiring people whose experience can help you reach your goals in less time. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Conversations with a Recovering Loan Officer. Today I'm joined by David Kablitis, and you are with Cornerstone, right?
Cornerstone First Mortgage, right, based in San Diego. There's other Cornerstones in Michigan that often get confused with us, but we're the only Cornerstone First Mortgage branch in Michigan.
Okay, and so you're, but where are you located? You said Michigan or?
Yeah, Michigan.
Michigan, okay, cool. How's the weather treating you over there?
Actually not bad. It's been a pretty mild summer. I got two boys play high-level baseball, so that is finally done. So done with that for the summer. I get what I call my mini summer right now, so I can actually cut my lawn and do normal things a little bit.
Do they travel when with baseball, and do you have to like take them all over the place and go to the games?
Yeah, there's two of them, so you know, my split family, my wife will take one. Whether one's in state or one's out of state or both in state, doesn't matter. We usually split, so it's a little
rough,
but it's worth it. Even by the time it's over, I'll probably want it back.
Man. Well, isn't that the beautiful thing about being a loan officer, right? You have a bit of flexibility with your time and you can schedule things the way you want and you can also work remotely. So how do you manage? How do you balance all that?
Yeah, that's a good point. We never talked about that in the, you know, before we started recording, but I was a mechanical engineer and then a consultant before I felt completely ass backwards into this industry. And it's been a blessing just for the reasons you mentioned. You know, having the flexibility to know my boys, to know my family, spend time with them, coach baseball. So being able to do that, you just have to be a little more, you still have to put in the hours for the business. So, but you get to flex those hours. So maybe it's, I've got to do my workout at 5 a.m., work from X to X, make my calls from 9 to 11, and then you're working, you know, maybe 7 to 10. But what, you know, in any case, you still get to have that time with your family.
Yeah, and that was the same reason that I love the industry so much, and also the same reason I hated the industry so much is because it doesn't sleep or stop on the weekdays. You know, there's always the struggle of getting calls after hours or on the weekends. And, you know, are you setting any sorts of boundaries for your clients or realtors during those timelines, or do you have systems in place to help you manage the off hours?
Fortunately, do not, because don't want to be, maybe someday, but you know, if I want more business, I can pretty much guarantee by getting more business by going on vacation. Like if it's slow,
oh my gosh,
I go on vacation, all of a sudden the thing blows up. Like guaranteed remedy for slow business, go on vacation.
That is the weirdest fact. I mean, totally true. Every single time I ever went on vacation, by the time I left and the time I landed wherever I was going, I'd have like 3 new loan applications and 5 pre-approval requests, you know.
And you'll get that one loan with all the hair on it. And it's top culture and you have to deal with it. It's like,
man, no. It's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, we joke about that. Need loans, go on vacation. That's funny. So you said you've been in the industry for over 20 years.
Right.
And you are a part of the Mortgage Marketing Animals coaching program. Tell us about that. I mean, we actually never had a guest. We've had lots of guests who are part of it, but we never talked about what that program is.
So I was part of it. I've been part of it for a while. And then when I joined my new company, we had kind of our whole internal accountability group, which several members are still part of Marketing Animals. So we still get to share all the good ideas, but it's an incredible community. It creates accountability. It's like I work from home, for example. So that's not the most motivating thing when my bed is right there, the fridge is right there. But, you know, having that buzzsaw of interaction with other top loan officers get your A-type personality going. You're competing against people, but you're also collaborating, sharing, and, you know, it's a great environment. And they've got this wonderful program called Call Stars where, you know, it's a daily success plan. So you're calling 2-hour time blocks on different days, different groups. And it's about accountability. We all get on this Call Star Zoom and we talk about what's worked, what's not worked, share wins and losses. And then boom, everyone shuts off their mics and they call. And you can see everyone calling on the, you know, the little Hollywood squares, and it's accountability.
Well, that's actually really powerful stuff. I mean, because there's no faking it.
you know, you're there to make your calls. You're seeing everyone make their calls, and you don't feel alone in doing that.
Yeah. And I was actually one of Carl White's guinea pigs in a program where he said, you know, I think you're going to really do really well if you do this consistently. So it's like, I'm going to help you out. Help me out. He said, we're going to sign a contract. You're going to give me your credit card. And if you don't log into Call Stars on any given day, you know, when you sign the contract, you can put blackout dates out there. But other than that, if you're not out there, he's going to charge my credit card $100. So it's a little extra. You know, you get up on Monday after weekend doing whatever, and you're like, I'm not going to make my calls today. And then you say, I'm going to make my call today.
Yeah, my friend and I, when we were in the, you know, when I was full-time and he was full-time in the industry, we both wrote each other like a big check to the benefit of like some political figure we hated. And if we didn't do the thing that we were supposed to do for that week, then they got to mail the check in as a donation. And yeah. So
very creative and outstanding. I love that.
Yeah. And it worked, man. It worked. There was no way I was going to donate my money to that person. And so I was definitely making my calls.
Did
so
anyone ever have to send a check?
We did. We sent one check. It fortunately was not me, but that was the last check we ever had to send. And then we did that for about 6 months. It was really good. But then we built the habits, right? We built the habits. We were on top of it. We saw the benefits that we were getting. And then we didn't need the accountability anymore because we knew that the outcome was what we were wanting anyways. So we went through we pushed through the pain and, you know, made it work. But I love that idea. Yeah, I've heard really great things about Mortgage Marketing Animals. And, you know, I always thought of it as a coaching program, but it sounds like it's more of a community than anything else.
Yeah, it's community, it reinforces, it straps. I mean, you could spend a month on their website and not totally digest everything they have to offer. So you just kind of, you know, like eating an elephant, they do top three things you want to execute on and see what resources they might have to help you out, grab them and run. And they do have that they offer. So, you know, there's coaching within the program.
Yeah. So yeah. Nice. Okay. So today is August 2nd, 2023. Crazy. What is top of mind for you as a loan officer? What do your daily activities look like as far as like your marketing focus, your sale, you know, how are you getting business?
So it's all about consistency, having a good plan and then executing it against it consistently. So many people will come up with a plan, and this is becoming cliche. You probably heard it on, I'm not the only one, not sure who's going to say it or ever will, but yeah, it's consistency. And the name of the game right now is that the herd is thinning. You know, you're having record amounts of loan officers and realtors not renewing their licenses. So it's about attrition, trying to do well in this tough industry or this tough time in this market. And the data that I've seen is that 24 and 25 are going to be some of the best purchase years in the last 30 years. So it's positioning yourself. It's not only attrition, surviving, trying to do well now, but positioning yourself to do really, really well on the other side. And my, you know, the big part of my plan is I get a lot of, I've been doing it a long time. So I definitely call my database, keep those relationships up. And I'm always trying to great meetings with divorce attorneys, financial planners, and realtors. Those are my top pillars, realtors being the biggest one. So I've got a plan that, you know, meeting, I don't know, five realtors a week. And it's really right now about how you position yourself. You don't want to position yourself as a solicitor, even in your own mind. You can't get in that mindset when you call a really top realtor that, you know, God, please take a meeting with me. It's, you know, position yourself as a peer. Like, I want to come in, I want to get to know you, see if we like each other, and then look for areas where we can help each other grow. Doesn't happen. We'll see each other around the block, but you're looking to add value to them and can't lead with, hey, I've got great rates, I'm a great guy, I'll close fast, I've got bridge loan. You know, they've heard that. They get that call every minute of every day. So you have to realize that and position yourself in a different way.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I mean, value is the key, right? I mean, everyone is inherently, I don't, you know, if the right word is selfish, but they have their own interests in mind. And if you can lead
into the marketplace by trying to help somebody with achieving their goals, they're more likely to feel like they want to pay back what you've done for them in return. You know, they'll send you referrals.
100% about the relationship. And people, like you said, people always have their own interests in mind, human nature. So they sit and they 100% sense if you are needy or if you're coming in from a point of, I need leads right now, you know, instead of, hey, let's peel some layers off this onion and let me get a look at your business and maybe I can help you. I'm going to do a seminar and we can put $40 on seats and I need your team to help me work it. Really? That's interesting. Okay, let's do that. You know, I'm starting to teach, haven't yet, but I'm going to start to teach classes, maybe teaching, you know, ChatGPT, things that will help their business and then just start to build a relationship. And usually everything will take care of itself after that.
How are you finding the real estate agents you're, you know, going to be talking to?
All over the map. You know, some are, I've got a tool that I can look up an agent. I can not only see how many buy sides, so I can qualify them, but it also shows, you know, who they've been using as their lender. Some, they've done 12 buy sides in the last 12 months. It's one lender, one lender, one lender. Each lender got one. Some have, you know, almost every loan went to one loan officer. So you know before calling what your challenges are. Usually, like, I called someone today and he said, well, sorry, you know, Mark's my best friend for the last 25 years. Yeah. So I said, well, why don't I just send you some information on some niches that maybe Mark doesn't cover? I'm not trying to replace Mark, but, you know, maybe we've got a bridge loan or a non-QM loan that they don't do with the credit union. And so you don't ever want to lose a deal in this market. Maybe I can be that guy. I can be your safety net.
That's how they start, right? I mean, because even if they, you know, have been working with somebody for 25 years, if they have a good experience with you and on one transaction, that now their mind is open to the opportunity to work with somebody else. Yeah, that's a great strategy. When it comes to bringing awareness to those people you're prospecting, you'd mentioned to me that you have a new strategy you're implementing that is using Facebook. Talk to me through that.
So it's social media. Instead of getting a list of qualified realtors and just picking up the phone and calling them, they don't know you can add them. I'll find them on Instagram and Facebook where a lot of them live now, and I'll engage them in those places. And then I will engage them on Facebook with a custom ad. So they're seeing a little bit of my personality. They see some of my education on social media. We're exchanging messages. They follow me back sometimes. And now there's, you know, a virtual relationship where at least you've got some neuron firing that knows your name in their mind. So when you call, it's like, oh, there's a good likelihood they're like, I know your name, I'm not sure where, or they're like, hey, you know, I liked your video, but at least it makes it a little bit warmer than a cold call, and which is sometimes can make all the difference.
So once you've got the realtor in, you know, whatever, over coffee, and you start to build a relationship with them, are you asking for referrals on the spot? Are you asking for them to introduce you to more real estate agents? How are you approaching those meetings?
I want to be true to my word. Part of my call is like, I'm not going to sit down and lead with product. I'm not going to ask you for business right away. I truly want to get to know you and your business and see if there's areas we can help each other grow. So it starts with, it's way more personal. I want to know, you know, what they got kids, what activities they're in, what they like to do in their spare time. You know, once they get to know you, then, you know, down the line, you can start to, the ask will organically happen. And there's going to be, you're going to see different loan officers with different strategies. And there's people who are going to say, you have to ask, you have to ask, you have to ask every time. That's not wrong either. It's just, I feel more comfortable. As you know, you have to do what makes you feel comfortable. If you're, you know, if you're not comfortable with something, it's not going to come off as genuine or organic. But you also can't be too weak to ask when it's time to ask. So there's a fine line in my mind. I like building a relationship and showing how I can help them before I even ask. Sometimes I don't even have to ask. I do that correctly in the business.
Yeah.
Which is very rewarding.
And so that's like delayed gratification. I don't think our kids, at least my kids, don't even know what that means these days.
Which I teach them, but, you know, someday that voice will ring true. But yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Are you in that meeting? Are you also trying to identify if this person is a good fit for you as a loan officer?
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll just sense that we have nothing in common. You know, there's like nothing. I got to get, you know, if I'm going to work with a realtor, I would like to be able to say, I want to hang out with this person, whether they're in real estate or not. Most often, you know, most often I could find areas where we can relate, and it's the case. But once in a blue moon, I'm like, this person is just, I'm oil, they're water. We're by this cup of coffee, and, you know, I'll probably not renew, you know, keep trying to stay.
You got there, fun,
right? Yeah. I mean, it just can't be pure numbers. It's got to be, I want to like the people I work.
There's nothing more stressful than a realtor you just don't get along with, or you have nothing in common with, and they don't respect your boundaries, or they don't understand. You don't have a close enough relationship for them to treat you like a friend instead of like a service provider, you know? Because no one wants to be treated like the title companies get treated. I mean, that's just brutal. You know, you're getting to know them in the first meeting. How do you set up like a follow-up? Are you, at that point, are you identifying what opportunities would be best for like their learning, and then putting together a plan for you to continue educating them on some aspect of the business? Or how are you?
It's pretty much custom to the relationship. So if someone actually agrees to take a meeting when they've got their best friend 25 years lending with them, but they want to hear about my niche products, then I'll ask them. That would be someone I would not call every week and say, hey, what's going on? Did you work for Play this weekend? You know, do you have any buyers that can work? Because I already know where the buyers are going. But I'll ask that realtor. I say, well, you know, I don't want to be a burden on you. I appreciate the meeting. You know, how would you like me to follow up with you? And then I'll take their, you know, cue. But if it's someone that I think we can do business with right away, then I'm probably calling them every week. I'm continuing to engage them on social media just to keep building that relationship. I'll try to set up a meeting every once in a while outside of, you know, just having a beer, having a coffee, keep the relationship going. And that I will start to talk about business, continue to add value and ask. But it depends on, oftentimes I will ask how they want to be followed up.
That makes sense, right? Ask what they want. So what are you doing then? So besides like the realtor relationships, you mentioned financial planners. Is your strategy with financial planners similar to real estate agents?
Yeah, it's building a relationship, but it's showing the value of what I can do. That why should you refer your clients to me rather than have them go to ABC Mortgage? And one of the reasons I can point to is using Mortgage Coach as a tool, or HomeBot, which allows the, you know, the homeowner to manage their mortgage as an asset, which oftentimes people don't do. They don't look into, okay, if I can make an extra $200 a month payment, you know, what does that look like long term? Or is this a good time to refinance? These tools help them make those decisions because it puts it in, you know, black and white numbers. Mm-hmm. When a planner sees that, they say, oh, well, you're digging a little deeper than the average loan officer. And oftentimes you can show them how you can keep more assets under management with them by, you know, helping them manage your mortgage this way. Maybe they take, you know, they've got a bunch of equity. Maybe they take money out and they can invest it. Whatever the case is, it's a strategic partnership that has the client first and foremost, and, you know, their best needs, their best interests in mind financially. And finally, a mortgage is part of that instead of being, you know, over here in a separate backing.
Yeah, the financial planner strategy is a newer strategy for me. I was always focused on the realtor relationships, but I had a really interesting interview last week where the gentleman, he actually founded some huge association for, you know, basically financial planning, mortgage planning. And, you know, I never thought about it this way, but if you're investing your money, right, and you've got a 7% rate on your house, even if you do a cash out refinance, but you get to write it off because it's a first mortgage, and your, you know, financial planner, your, you know, whoever you're working with can get you a 7 to 10% return on your money, you're actually wasting money on having it in your mortgage. Yeah.
Right.
So it makes more sense to actually invest it in the market or wherever you're investing than it does to actually, you know, have a lower mortgage rate. And so
you can give them examples too about, okay, you know, Joe Smith, he's sitting at 5%, but he's got $50,000 in credit card debt. So let's tally up those minimum monthly payments, and it's $800 a month. Yeah, even though we're refinancing, pay those off, we might go from 5% to 6.75. This mortgage payment might go up by $200, but he's saving $800 a month in credit debt. So the fact that they know that you can look at it that way and help their clients that way is a good thing too. It just show them how financially savvy enough to help their clients build wealth.
Yeah, cash flow is king, and that's what, you know, you can help. Even today with higher rates, there's still an opportunity for people to improve their cash flow situations if they've got consumer debt. So that's a really good point. Now, you mentioned you use Homebot. Homebot is it's an awesome tool. Talk us through how you leverage Homebot in your business.
I think it's the best fence you can build around your current, well, you know, your database. A lot of people say, well, I already have a CRM. This is going to sound like a Homebot commercial, right? But, you know, the CRM is like, okay, here's a Thanksgiving recipe. Here's how to paint your fence. Here's the best thing to use on your deck. Happy holidays. But Homebot's giving them information that they need, that they want, in an easy-to-read format. So they get that digest every month. They get addicted to it because everyone wants to see the value of their home, but then they see the financial dashboard. And your face is there every time. Mm-hmm. You could send videos to all the database at once to say, hey, you know, your equity is at an all-time high. I've owned four homes. Even though you don't, might not need it or use it, I would advise you take out a home equity line of credit for a rainy day. And you can just send messages in bulk to everyone that helps them. Well, they get, you know, I think it's way better than a CRM just to stay in touch with your clients. God forbid rates ever go down, you know, they're still your top of mind. More so than, my opinion, a regular CRM.
Well, CRMs are like what I call push marketing. So CRMs, like, you're pushing whatever you think the client needs or whatever you think will keep you top of mind with them into their email inbox. And email is, in my opinion, the worst way to stay top of mind because it is the most highly commoditized form of contact information today for every single person your customer ever talks to. So their supermarket, their, you know, Amazon, their mother-in-law sending them cat videos, every single discount club they sign up for, you're competing for your customer's awareness in that email inbox. And so if they don't happen to be in their email within that 1-3 hour period of time where you could be at the top of the inbox, you're going to be buried on the second page and completely have zero chance even getting awareness, let alone the fact that most of the time as loan officers, we don't really know what our customers want in that minute. So talking about a particular thing may have zero impact because they're not in that frame of mind right now. And they don't really want our Thanksgiving turkey recipes. That's not, you know, valuable information to them.
And you put yourself in their shoes. You might have a financial advisor or a homeowner's insurance professional that you know, like, this is a friend of yours. You see their email come across, you're like, I know this is just something stupid, and you just delete it.
Yeah.
Stop. It's not a personal email.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and even if it was a personal email, a lot of times, because the mortgage process is so infrequent, it's less that, like, especially as you move 1, 2, 3, 4 years into the future, it's less likely that they're going to open something like that from you because you spent, you know, 30 days, 3 hours total times working with them on a transaction and they got their mortgage and now they're making their payments and they deal with their insurance agent, you know, and they deal with these other people, their financial planners, on a consistent ongoing basis. But most loan officers will not call that borrower again. Like, they just think the CRM is going to handle it. And so what I found Homebot or systems like Homebot do really well. There's another one too called Home IQ. I don't know if you checked it out, but this might be worth looking in. Yeah, it does essentially the same thing, right? So no reason to shift the world if you're using Homebot. I think it's a great system. But in my mind, what they do so well is you said they build that fence. Well, they do it through data that is hyper-personalized for the customer and relevant to them to the point where they want to know, right? What's the value of their home? What their neighbor's house sell for? You know, what's the market look like? What's the opportunity cost of their current mortgage versus a new one? There's a lot of really cool data there that's, again, so specific that I think the open rates are pretty good. Do you know what your open rates are on those?
I'd have to check, but I think it's over 85%.
That's incredible. Yeah. See, that's the thing right there.
You can use it as a tool, you know, to add value to realtors as well, because you can add a realtor as a partner. It's like $25 a month for them to get around the rest of the clients. And then you position it as the same thing. They're building a fence around their clients and, you know, it gets them off Zillow where they're being bombarded by everyone else, other realtors. solicitors, and it puts them in that realtor's bubble. They want to know, hey, HomeBot says my house is worth $500,000. That seems low. And they'll call out to the realtor, send in a text. And as a realtor, you have to love the fact that you're having a conversation. Because if you're good, you should be having that conversation and say, hey, well, by the way, do you have any friends, families, or family members or colleagues that are looking to buy or sell? You say that in a very nice way, and conversations win the day. You have enough conversations, you will get some more business.
Yeah, love that. Conversations win the day. Okay, cool. If you get your real estate agents on HomeBot, you then are also going to be, are you present in the environment?
So if I bring a realtor on to HomeBot, and let's say they've got 400 people in their database, and they upload that database, I cannot see those people.
Okay.
But those people can see me as the financial person over the financial dashboard.
Got it.
So I can't solicit the clients. I tell them I never would, but they will see me.
And so then they could reach out to you. They have questions, right? You're in the portal tied to all the financial data. That's also co-branded with the realtor they trust. And so, have you received any leads or deals that way?
A few. I'd say the most common question I get through there is, because everyone's got such high equity right now, right away they want to know, how can I get rid of my PMI or my mortgage? So, but again, that leads into a conversation, which can lead into an ask, which can lead into a referral.
Yeah, it always starts with just the first touch point, right? So, and it builds. I think that a lot of people they're touting this direct-to-consumer marketing strategies where you're getting loan applications straight from online and all this stuff. And there's some truth to being able to do that. But the reality is relationships are what's going to build your business. And that always starts with a conversation. So that's great. I'm glad to see that you're having some success with that. Any, final thoughts or suggestions for people in the market just to stay focused on making it work?
Yeah. Get over call reluctance. So many people that kills their consistency there. They will do anything to trick themselves into thinking they're busy. I'll be checking my email. I'm gonna look at that loan again with a 480 credit score, see if I can revive it. I'm busy. But get out of your comfort zone, block off, figure out what your high leverage activities are, ones that will make you money. Oftentimes, a lot of them will be out of your comfort zone. But those are the ones you have to do. Block that time off. Do it consistently. They're non-negotiable times. And, when people say no to you they're not saying no to you, it's not personal. It's just, it's just they don't want this at that time. It's okay. Get over the call reluctance. Identify your high leverage activities. Block them off. Do them consistently without question. And you'll see it all.
Love it. Great tips. Thank you so much, David, for joining us today on the podcast. And yeah, if anybody wants to get in touch with you or has questions, how can they get in touch?
Give an email, or we could give my Instagram. Instagram's Kablight.
Yeah, put in the show notes.
Yeah, Kablight is David, is Instagram, and then my email is davek@cfmgg.com.
Awesome. Dave, thanks so much. And
yeah, Nicole.
Appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.